Everybody agree by saying amen. All right, I'll start reading here at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what do you do? Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts, underline all, of the fiery darts of the wicked one, wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All right. Let's talk tonight about leaving your comfort zone. Leaving your comfort zone. Now, for our background scripture, let's look at Matthew chapter 14, please. Matthew chapter 14. Now, here's what it says. I'll start reading here. And I'll start reading here at verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt?" This is interesting here. I was teaching to the staff yesterday in our staff meeting. We have an overall staff meeting about once a month or whatever. And I made a statement that I saw one time in a book. It says, "The well-adjusted make poor profits." Prophets is the one who prophesies, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S. "The well-adjusted make poor profits." And what it means is that if you're too comfortable right here, you won't move forward to something better. And it's kind of interesting how I think that is an absolute trick of the enemy. Because he doesn't want the church to go forward. And to go forward is what you and I must do. Now, this is Spiritual Warfare, Volume 2, Part 28, and the subtitle title is Leaving Your Comfort Zone. Now, it's interesting about that is that people get comfortable in one place. And there's a law that I remember in physics when we were being taught in school. And it's a law, I think, they call it the law of inertia. That a thing that is at rest will remain at rest unless it's acted upon by an outside force. See? And sometimes I think that God will allow things sometimes to just rattle our nest so that we can go ahead and fly. That people want to stay in a very comfortable place. Where you are now is not your potential. Where you are now is where you are now. But it's not where God ultimately wants you, because if that were that case, then you wouldn't be there now. You'll figure that out later on. So my point to you is there is a greater something that he wants you to be, a more in you that he wants to come out. It's more of his glory that he wants to be manifested and so forth. And the church are the people that have been sent here to make that happen. And I think one of the biggest things is this whole idea of moving forward. And if I am determined that I am not going to sit down in one spot. Not when the church is the world's only hope. I mean, without us, the world has no hope. You think about it. Because they think their problems are natural. You and I know that part of their problems is the curse. And part of their problem is the devil. And we can do something about both of them. We can bind him and we can loose the blessing. So I'm saying this is a time, and this whole idea of warfare is what we're engaged in, because one of the things that the enemy wants to do, he wants to keep you comfortable. He wants to keep you in a place where you say, this is all I want, this is all I can do, this is all I want to be, so forth and so on. No. God wants to take you to the next level, and then the next level, and the next level. So that enemy works to do that. Here, that you've read this opening scripture, or this in Matthew chapter 14, it was Peter. And Peter wasn't waiting on someone else to push him forward. He was willing to push himself forward. He's saying, hey, wait a second. If that's you, bid me to come to you on the water. Now, what do I believe? I believe Peter saw something. Because you are designed to go where you see. Here's what he says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you look at that same scripture and look at it in the another translation says, whatever he believes is where he's going to end up. And you believe what you see. Another translation, what he believes is what he becomes. He or she. Now, let's just look at this. Because in John's Gospel, chapter 20, this is when Jesus was raised from the dead and he appeared to his disciples. In John chapter 20, he said this in verse 19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. And he stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hand and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw it was the Lord. And then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of nails, and put my finger into the print of nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut. And he stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. And then said he unto Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but what? Believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. Now I want you to see this, because there's a truth in here that Jesus is bringing up. He said, because you have seen me, you believe. Now, seeing, there's the devil, bind the devil in Jesus' name. You ain't got time for you, devil. Seeing is believing. Whether or not it's with your natural eyes or with your spiritual eyes. When you have revelation, that's why it's so dangerous. Because revelation allows you to see something that's unseen. And when you can see something that's unseen, your faith grows. Watch this. And you get a little crazy. Now, when I say that, maybe I'll strike that. You get a little aggressive. You get a little revolutionary. Because you can see what you can't see. Are you following what I'm saying? And Adam initially saw both realms. When mankind fell, he fell to natural sight. But when Jesus came and rescued us, he said in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 18, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Now, once you look at this thing that is not seen, over in Romans, and Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham and how he was able to produce something in his body or in Sarah or a child that was impossible. The Bible says in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. You can't get there with natural sight. You got to see something that folk can't see. And you got the Holy Ghost in you, who is the revelator. That when you meditate this word, that Holy Ghost begins to paint a picture right inside of you. And that picture becomes so big till it flushes out anything else. And in this, he said he considered not. That's what I like. He considered not. If anybody brought anything to you differently, you won't even consider it. Do you know you can get in here and say, by his stripes I am healed, and paint that so big in your spirit until something tried to come on you and you won't even consider it. All right, now, I'm talking about leaving your comfort zone, because that's what we got to do. Now, Jesus came in first, and he started preaching, repent. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, what does repent mean? Let me loosen up this collar here. What does repent mean? Okay. Change your thinking, because that's what's blocking the way to your destiny. And what I said to you, glory to God, is that my wife and I were looking at something. Somebody was writing about an experience that they had, and he said that God took him, and I guess he had died and come back to life or something like that. He was in a coma. But that he experienced how we're to operate originally, or how Adam did. God took him to an original operation. Glory to God. And he said that knowledge is in this realm something that you don't learn over time. But the moment you inquire, the answer is there. And it's not, and that it comes with such concepts and knowledge that would normally take years for you to grasp. And it all comes whoop at once. Now, you can see how Adam could name animals. I mean, all this, he probably got all this knowledge about a lion in a tenth, 100th of a second. And all this knowledge, how the lion operates, how he sleeps, what he does. Now, I'm saying that because God has kind of been giving me some insight on some things here. See, that we are still in the comfort zone. And we're in the comfort zone because we're letting our soul dictate what we can know and how we can operate. Now, I'm saying that because when Peter got out of that boat and started his first foot on that water and walked. Now, some people laugh at him because he starts sinking, but he did walk. Am I right about it? For you to walk on that water, you're going to have to operate past your brain. And he wouldn't have it in here if it was not possible. For the most part, in the Christian community, the mind is a comfort zone. And we don't want to go past anything that might risk us not knowing what we're doing. When God, that's, get ready, because in these last days, God is going to take us beyond what we can naturally ask or think. Can I keep going here? When Adam fell, he suffered mental damage. Now, God has restored our spirit, but he's got to transform our thinking. Am I right about that? So we got to reprogram that thing up there. So he said, repent. Now, I'm not going to read the verses, Mark chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15. He said, repent. The kingdom of God has come. Now, we had been living under the and within the ability of our natural minds and what we could do naturally. And that's pretty much the way we've been living. Now, I'm still at Peter walking on his water because we're going to study this. And out of this study, you're going to go somewhere. See, because one man said this, I'm going to read it. Faith is your positive response to what God has already done. Not something you do to get God to move. Faith is your positive response to something God has already done. Let me say it this way. If God has not already done it, your faith is not going to make it happen. Are you hearing me? Now, Peter started to sink. And Jesus said, Peter, why did you doubt? So what did doubt do to his faith? It deleted it. It made it of none effect. Just a little doubt. And isn't it interesting how the enemy, when you start moving in faith, he tries to come with a little doubt, because you're about to walk on water. You're about to do something that those others in that boat who are comfortable gonna be trying to figure out, how are you doing that? Now, what is happening with your life? Folks, this shopping mall is like, again, a speck of dust compared to where God wants us to go. And where we're trying to go is we're trying to feel it to go there. God doesn't want you to feel it. Because unless you leave the comfort zone of the flesh, you can never operate in a place to receive from God. I didn't get this place from man, I got it from God. So God wants to transfer some things into your life. And he wants you to think, because once you, if you would, think outside your brain. Folks, look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And this is the story of the man who rich man that ended up going to hell. Verse 19. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, this is the rich man, being in torment and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And he sent Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Are y'all with me here? But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Now, I won't go any further. Now, all of that is a revelation. Because first he said, the rich man was fared sumptuously, and Lazarus was a beggar. Yet when Lazarus and the rich man died, the rich man went to hell. Lazarus went in Abraham's bosom. That is a place of Sheol that would keep you until Jesus came and he paid the price for all humanity, then went into that place of Sheol and led captivity out of there and led him on up to heaven. Got it? But it says when they both died, first of all, the rich man shouldn't have been rich, and the man who believed in Christ poor. It should have been the other way around. All right, here's the next thing. When they died, it says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, the rich man. Now, how are you going to lift up your eyes if your eyes are in your head and your head is on your body and your body is 6 feet under? So that tells me that everything that his body has, he has. Everything that his body has, he has. He said he lifted up his eyes in hell. Am I right about that? And in hell he lifted up his eyes at being in torment and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So he recognized Abraham. Got it? Now I'm talking about when, see, his brain was still in his head. But your brain is not your limit. Are you with me here? Your mind goes with you. And once your brain releases your mind, it opens up. Glory to God. See, the only boundary now is our soul, is that thinking, is that what we think in here. I'm saying, wait a minute, hold on, let's reprogram that thing. And let's find out that with God, all things are possible. And that I can walk on water. Oh, Jesus. Okay, let's let's just take, this is a class on spiritology. All right, Mark 11, please. I've been listening to Brother Hagin so long, I'm talking about Mark 11:23. All right, look what it says. So Jesus cursed the fig tree and it dried up. And then he comes on down in verse 19, and when the evening was come, he said he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, and said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you curse is what? Withered away. And Jesus answered and said to him, what? Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Have the, we're busy getting that roof fixed and that devil still trying to, okay. Have the God kind of faith. Can I just say this and you just go home and research it? The faith that he gave you, it's the same faith that God used to do things with. He spoke, oh Jesus. And then he gave you his faith. Holy Spirit, help me now to get this across, please, in Jesus' name. you walk by faith, you must leave your flesh. You must leave your senses. You must not have anything on your body to tell you whether or not it worked. You cannot have anything dictating to you whether you're healed, whether you just got the money. There is nothing in the natural, nothing anywhere. And that is the only way you're going to do warfare and win. You've got to take, let's say Mark 11:24. You've got to say, wait a minute. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, what do you do? Believe you what? Believe you what? Receive. Believe you what? Receive them. Did it say feel like you received them? Did it say have somebody else to come to you and say? It didn't say anything. You got to leave out everything that has to do with any confirmation in the physical that you got what you just prayed. Now you're about to get it. The enemy's job is to bring you back to the comfort zone. His job is to bring you back to a place where you got to feel something, that somebody got to prophesy to you, that they got. And as long as he will do that, he will defeat you anytime he gets ready. But the way you defeat him, and the only way you'll reach the destiny of God, is you got to go where you can't feel nothing, you can't trace nothing, nothing. Only thing you know is that when you pray, and you pray according to God's word, you believe when you pray, you have it. And that is it. And get your mouth ready to just keep going, keep that confession in your mouth. And as time goes on, his job is to get you between you believe, you receive, and there it is. His job is to get you into this place where you're trying to doubt. Well, did it really work? It's taking a little long. I don't know. Did it work? Yes, it worked. You ought to hold fast to your confession and say it did work. It is on its way. Angels are working for me right now. My spirit, my soul, I trust in the Lord with all my heart. I will not drop my faith. The way that we shut down all the violence in a city is that way. And it won't happen any other way. We got to believe that we receive the fact that every demon of murder, every demon of theft and robbery is bound. And when you do that and God sees your faith, he will bind every devil that's in there, and none of them will be able to shoot a gun or do anything with it. Praise God. Are y'all with me? The enemy's job is to get you to doubt. Folks, before I came here, people were calling me on the phone when I was in Minneapolis, calling me on the phone saying, hey, I can't even move my hand and so forth. I said, just put your hand right there. I said, I'm going to pray over the phone right now. Now, I'm in a whole nother state. I pray over the phone. All of a sudden, they started crying. I can move my hand. See, it don't make no difference because the spirit got no distance. There ain't no distance in the spirit. You can pray from here and hit the south side. You can pray from here and hit Moscow, Russia. You can pray because it's according to your faith. It ain't got nothing to do with where you located. Praise God. Now that's why the conference is there. The conference is there to get you back over into the power of prayer. And prayer takes faith. It takes faith to launch those missiles. It takes faith for angels to move. It takes faith for God to do anything for you. Say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says one man's faith over in James chapter 5 stopped the rain for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again and it started back. Now don't tell me you can't. He stopped the rain over the earth. Now tell me we can't stop it on the south side. Now I'm telling you, some of you may not want to go anywhere. I'm just saying don't bother people that do want to go somewhere. You enjoy just sitting up here in another sermon. That ain't what this is about. This is about arming you for war. And it's about stopping this mess in Chicago. God has given us jurisdiction over this city. Glory to God. Woo! He has given us jurisdiction. This is a part of our assignment in this city. You heard the prophet Cindy Jacobs up here. She said, I hear something in this city from this church. You're supposed to be having locations, 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 locations. See, we're supposed to have a place on the south side, west side, east side, north side. I'm talking about where people can center down in prayer, and prayer can be made for those places and start a vortex of freedom. Oh, it's a God. Folks, let me say something, because I wrote it down here. The spirit realm is meant to be our natural estate. One more time. The spirit world or realm is meant to be our natural estate. And whoever is that person who is in the spirit realm and takes that authority from that realm will control everything that you can see. Control everything. Now, I won't go much further here because we're going to start in here next time. Leaving your comfort zone. And I'm telling you, here is a man named Elisha. And all of a sudden, because he was seeing things, he saw and heard by the Spirit of God which way the enemy was going to attack Israel. And he'd tell Israel that and breathe the secrets of Syria. How would you like it if some other country was plotting against this country? And we got the secrets. We got it in the spirit. And we could tell our government and tell the army they can cut that thing. Are you following what I'm saying? It's the church. What happened was this king of Syria said something's wrong here. There's somebody that's leaking our secrets. Somebody that's telling. Said we got a traitor. One of the servants said, we don't have a traitor, king. There's a prophet. I said, there's a seer down there. I said, a seer. And do you realize, I'm telling you, God will always give you a leg up on your competition. Whatever fight you're in, he's going to tell you what they're going to do next. And y'all got to get me now. And what happened was they said, okay. They said, let's go get him. So they sent an army down there specifically by night. Folks, you can't attack the people of God by night because you can't even attack them by day. See, God will warn his people. And what we got to do is start listening for God. Stop listening to this flesh. Start listening to God. Stop looking at the news. Let's listen for God. He knows what's coming next month. What am I saying? Came down there. Next thing you know, he took them in. They surrounded him. The prophet's servant came out and tried to get him some water and looked up and saw all those enemies. Said, Master, what are we going to do now? He said, listen, there are more with us than be with them. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's more with you than be with anybody that's against you. I don't care how many is against you. And so he said, Lord, come on, open his eyes. And Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw angels of fire right around Elijah, and they were keeping him. And then Elijah prayed another prayer, and the angels attacked. What did they do? Blinded everybody. Blinded the whole entire army. Folks, that is Old Testament. How much more will he do in the New Testament? Now, what did he do? He didn't leave them blinded. He got them down there, fed them, and then opened their eyes and took them and sent them on back home. Don't you know they were glad to go back home? We are seated with him where? In heavenly places. Let's go to one more place and we're out. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, please. 1 Corinthians. See, the spirit realm is meant to be your natural habitation. It's meant to be your natural estate. All right, look what he says here. I'll start reading. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. The Bible says when you don't know what to pray for, what do? You can pray in tongues. And what has happened? People doubting tongues. You got to know. Wait a minute. I got up this morning. I said, watch this. And after I finished praying, I said, I believe I received it. Hey! I don't know what I prayed and believed I've received it. Because when I do pray, I pray in the Spirit and I pray the perfect will of God. You can actually get interpretation if you're praying something about yourself, because I was doing that when they said we couldn't have this wall. Well, what did I do? I didn't get up early in the morning. God said you'd pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, to a natural mind, that is foolish. Then he said, stop. Now, listen for interpretation. I got quiet, and God said, all right, this is what you do. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Go through verses 1 through 7. Take it to your secretary. Type it so she can type it big so you have to use your glasses. Go call a meeting. God telling me all of that. Go call a meeting with the mayor. Tell the mayor you want to see it, so forth and so on. I'm only walking it out, folks. He's got it already worked out. See, I said faith, glory to God. If God hasn't done it, faith ain't going to make it happen. I'm busy walking it out. Why? Because I prayed in the Holy Ghost. What did I do? I got up in the Spirit. I didn't stay down here in the flesh where it's comfortable. I got up there where it is uncomfortable. I can't feel anything, but I believe I received it. Boom, 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 boom. Look what we got right now. I'm just saying they wouldn't let us go in here. They voted that we couldn't go in here. Oh, the council had passed the law that we couldn't have a church in here. But look at it now. When they're trying to keep you out, look down here in verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, what happens? What happens? Verse 14. Put it up there. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. When I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful because it's a higher level. What is it then? I will what? Pray in the spirit. And what else I'll do? I will pray with understanding also. Keep going. I will sing in the spirit. Keep going. I will sing in understanding also. Folks, he wants some spiritual songs. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that debts are being canceled this week. We thank you, Lord. It's all spiritual. Stay down in the flesh, you'll be defeated. I can guarantee you, almost every time. Unless somebody else comes to rescue you. I'm just saying, I'm not saying you have to be. I'm saying if the devil wants to stop you, you got to get up in the spirit. And watch this. Not be ashamed of it. We've gotten so intellectual to almost ashamed to pray in the Holy Ghost. Or almost ashamed to tell somebody who asks you, what do you think about that tongue stuff? You know what that's going to do? It's going to give us that edge. We're going somewhere that they can't go. We're going to do something they can't do and rescue them from something that they can't get out of. Give God praise. That was the word of God, folks. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They may, amen. They might think, they might laugh at it at first, but wait until they see the results. If you're here and God's spoken to your heart about being born again, that's what I came to do as well. I want to make sure you're in the kingdom. Don't be ashamed of it. Years ago.